This is a Baby Brunch podcast.
What's the treatment for night terrors?
Not all night terrors need to be treated because it can be considered as part of normal child development.
Really?
Typical child development. When it needs intervention is if it impacts their functioning. So if they're always waking up tired, they're no longer available to learn at school. Okay. And if it creates distress.
This podcast is supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. The range of Epimax Baby and Junior Gentle All-Purpose Emollient Moisturizers is an all-day, everyday favorite for babies and children. Give your child a good start to every day by nourishing and protecting their skin with Epimax.
Our fabulous friends from Douglasdale Therapy Centre is joining us again. DouglasdaleTherapyCentre.co.za if you need to find them. Today we're talking about night terrors and anxiety in kids. I must tell you, I still don't know particularly what a night terror is, and I'm going to need you to help explain in case some of our moms and dads at home are still not sure. Anxiety, I think we've come to understand, and especially for us that have had to parent in COVID, that's when this word became a lot for us. So those are the two things that you've asked me to unpack. And our expert is back. Megan is joining us. Megan Tucker is an educational psychologist. She works with children and adolescents. And welcome back to Baby Brunch.
Thank you so much for having me again. It's always a real treat to be here.
Douglasdale Therapy Centre has got a whole host of experts. What are some of the situations you can help us with in our homes?
So when I started the Douglasdale Therapy Centre, I wanted it to be a focus of a multidisciplinary team. So when I say that, it's multiple professionals that can help a family so that you can come to one centre and sort of hopefully meet all your needs. So when we work with children, obviously there's diverse things we can assist with, and some of that being anxiety, bedtime wetting, self-regulation difficulties, self-esteem, and more so now, like you mentioned, after COVID, is the increasing level of anxiety in children and the impact that that is having on their academics.
Why are our children so scared? They're not scared at home. It's as if they come home scared.
So it's very interesting. Typically, we see children act out more at home because it's comfortable. And they have to, out of almost a natural response, suppress feelings throughout the day. I don't know if you experience it similarly with your family, if your children sometimes act out when they're with you. And then maybe hubby will say, they don't behave like this when I'm around. And then sometimes you're thinking, what am I doing wrong? But actually, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Not that dad's doing anything wrong either. But some children experience either parent as a source of comfort where they can really express their feelings that they have to regulate throughout the day. So when children are coming home scared or anxious, it's because finally I can express these feelings that I've been keeping together the whole day just to get through the day and meeting the expectations of their day.
What does a night terror look like?
So I know that you said we understand anxiety and night terrors, but if it's okay with you, I want to clarify nighttime anxiety and then distinguish with night terrors. So nighttime anxiety typically is increased worry or stress at night. So the quietness of the night sometimes amplifies stress or worry that was suppressed in the day. Then if we look at night terrors, that is episodes of intense fear or even screaming at night. This is accompanied by physical symptoms such as an increased heart rate, crying or sweating, And I think it's terrifying for parents when they do experience it, because very often your child does not seem to be aware of their surroundings. And unlike a nightmare, they aren't able to recall the event the following day.
Sure. So it's like being scared, but being scared a lot, and then not remembering it the next day.
And I think that can also be extremely distressing.
I don't know why, but I'm getting so much goosebumps because it feels like there's a lot of it that's out of our control. But to give our parents some reassurance, that's why we bring our experts in, because they're going to help us through this. Nighttime anxiety, we always joke about it, and no offense to the program, it's the carte blanche music on a Sunday, right?
Yes, yes.
Do you know what it was for my older kids? Aww. We used to call Sundays groensakkie. Because I'm a stepmom, on a Sunday, it was sometimes time to go back to their other mommy. And the minute we put the school bags at the door, groensakkie made that everyone would lose their marbles. The kids would now cry for no reason. The minute the bags were at the door, that was it. We could see that that was a trigger for a lot of things, and that made them very scared, you know, because tomorrow's Monday.
I think often people also refer to it as Monday blues. Mm. Because it's from a, well, hopefully relaxing. Mm.
Over the weekend
back to, typically I think a Monday is a very big start, anticipation for what the week holds. And that does bring about some stress or worry or feelings of anxiety. And I think I laugh because I know what that feels like.
Yeah, we all do. Sometimes when babies are sleeping, there's some movement. They sometimes have a twitch, or is my baby having a night terror?
So what I tend to think is a little bit of a complicated concept, and I've tried to break it down as best as I can when I knew that I was coming to see you again, but is the concept of non-REM and REM sleeping patterns. So both these stages of sleeping is very important for memory consolidation, repair, and physical and mental health. So that twitching forms part of those stages. So non-REM sleep typically occurs in the first half of the night, and it's a light sleep. So there's different stages of the non-REM sleep. And the REM stands for rapid eye movement. Mm. So non-REM sleep occurs in the first half of the night and starts with a light sleep where you can be easily awakened, then where there's a decrease in heart rate, and then when you're in a very deep sleep. The different stages last for about 90 minutes, and then it reoccurs throughout the night. And then where the twitching occurs is typically with the REM sleep. While I was researching this, I actually had a giggle because they speak about momentary or temporary, like deep muscle paralysis.
Wow.
Because you're so active in your dreams or in your sleep, that prevents that you don't hurt yourself.
Hmm.
So sometimes if you dream that you're falling, you'll wake up from a twitch.
Right.
And so sort of that's sort of linked to that. And maybe you'll just have to rephrase your question, sorry, about when my baby is twitching at night.
Mm.
So this doesn't necessarily mean that they are having a night terror, no.
Mm. Do I become worried?
From the twitching or when you experience screaming?
From just the twitch. You know, like when they sleep and there's movement?
Yes.
I shouldn't be worried about that.
Hey? No. No, I think that could just, and I'm no sleep specialist, but that they are sound asleep. And I think sometimes movement is also actually reassuring.
Oh boy, don't get me started. Movement with babies is very important.
Yes.
I know, because I've watched them for 8 hours at a time, not wanting to go to bed. You know, when they're new, you're like, I'm going to just stay right here.
Oh, yes.
You know what I actually did today? When I knew we were going to talk about night terrors and anxiety in children, because it's such a difficult, you know, anything about our children when we are talking about something that could possibly be a problem is a hard topic to talk about. But I wanted to talk about signs, symptoms, and treatment. All right. So at which age do night terrors occur? Do we know? Is there research around when it starts? Like, how do you know, oh, this is the start of it, so eventually we're going to have an issue if we don't tackle this now, you know? And even anxiety, like, I mean, how do you know that your child is afraid for a long period of time? I'm not too worried about them being scared sometimes, because we're all afraid of something. It's an emotion. But to be anxious, you know, that for me is a problem.
Yes, yes. So it typically develops between the ages of 4 years and 12 years of age. But that also doesn't mean that every child will have night terrors or anxiety. It is, however, considered typical in development. It's a normal part of child development. When it's in excess is when it becomes or can become problematic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with the degree and how long it carries on, because I think you hit the nail on the head when you said all children worry sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes is very, very important, because when we look at levels of anxiety, we look at how often does it occur.
Mm.
Because all people feel nervous, all people worry, and all people are stressed. This is what keeps us, helps us get up out of bed in the morning. It can be a form of motivation. But when it is in excess and impacts your daily functioning, where you are no longer functioning effective, or where you sort of in a frozen state, that is, yes, when it does become problematic. And you will see it in a child's demeanor, their behavior, and their emotional state.
How do we know that their anxiety is at a stage of worry and that we need to go and see our educational psychologist, an expert, you know, visit the center where you practice? When is it time to see a professional?
Every child will present with their anxiety or their worries differently. Some children are quiet,
mm-hmm.
and then some children act out. But typically you will observe a drop or decline in academic performance, a loss of interest in things that they used to enjoy, sport, seeing friends, interacting with family, a change in their mood, difficulties with sleeping. And then some children vocalize it, they verbalize it. They say, "Mom or Dad, I am feeling stressed," more often than not. Some children know what it is. It's anxiety. I'm feeling very anxious.
Mm.
And then you do get some children who say, "I'd never realized it was anxiety." And then there's sort of a sense of relief, because now they can finally label this uncomfortable feeling.
Right.
Increased heart rate, sore tummy with no medical explanation. Yes.
Give me more symptoms of night terrors. So do night terrors present itself only while asleep? So what happens? The family goes to bed and then what happens?
So typically you will wake up with your child having a night terror that looks like screaming, crying, kicking. And
do we wake
them? Usual behavior. So it's sometimes very difficult to wake a child.
Right.
So when they aren't going to harm themselves, then typically to leave it and to reassure and to say that I'm here. But if they are going to harm themselves, it can be difficult to wake them from it. And sometimes you can hold them if it is appropriate, but it's unlikely that they will wake up. Mm. When they do wake up, they will also be distressed because they can't remember getting out of their bed. And it's very distressing for parents because they don't understand it. And it actually happens when mom and dad aren't always at home. And the reason I say that is it's because it's a change in routine.
And environment.
Yes. which is, and now we see how children respond to a change in routine. Not always, but sometimes in the form of a night terror.
What are the signs of anxiety? We've touched on some, you know, the sore tummy that is not fixable with a syrup, with a green and yellow. what else can we look out for? And we'll get to treatment shortly. Yeah.
Very often it's just intense crying all the time. When you ask why you're crying, they can't explain it. Avoidance. Don't want to go to school. Don't want to see friends. Attachment. They are more attached to you. They don't want to leave your side. They want to be close to mommy. And like I mentioned, difficulty sleeping. So that often gives an indicator that, well, something isn't right. And this can indicate worry or, if it's in excess, anxiety.
I don't want to open a can of worms. And I really, with this entire series and over the past years, thank God, like we've really only had success in support. When there is an anxiety in our children, or when any symptom of anything presents itself and we notice, do we make it a family affair? Do we turn to partner and say, hey man, like, do you think this is with us? Do you only treat the child?
So I work from a systemic perspective.
Right.
Which means that the system and the family is typically involved. But it does depend on your family setting and what that looks like and what that means and who the support is and how available that support is. So I think when immediate family, mommies, daddies, can be involved and be a approach it together, that is beneficial, because then both parties are aware of what's happening. Because mommy and or daddy aren't always home. So if only one parent is aware, the other parent may not know what this is, what it looks like, or how do I manage it. So if everyone can be informed, everyone can hopefully make an informed decision or give informed guidance in managing the presentation.
What's the treatment for night terrors? I mean, now your child has presented with all these confusing, you know, it's confusing for parents. I feel for our single moms today, like just having to go through that and this, you know, it's a lot.
I think it's also tiring.
Yeah.
So if you are doing it by yourself.
We're tired.
That's exactly. Yeah. You know, and it, I think there's an emotional, that heavy weight on your shoulders then as well, because why is my child having night terrors and am I doing something wrong? Not all night terrors need to be treated, because it can be considered as part of normal child development.
Really?
Typical child development. So if it happens occasionally,
okay,
that's okay. You can always look at why it's happened, what has changed, what is different.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily need intervention. When it needs intervention is if it impacts their functioning. So if they are always waking up tired, they're no longer available to learn at school. Okay. And if it creates distress, then that typically is a sign or an indicator that further intervention is required. So maybe if it does happen, it's about how can we best manage it. And then you look at healthy bedtime routine. Very, very important. So routine, I love routine, especially for my children, because they are these little beings in this big world. And routine creates safety because they know what to expect.
Oh, I love rules.
yes. Because yeah. just this is a different topic for another day that I'm inviting myself back for. But rules comes with boundaries. Mm. And then again, it's about knowing what to expect.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
when we started this conversation, you spoke about control.
Mm.
And when we aren't in control, it's a very uncomfortable feeling. Mm. And it can be quite distressing. So when they don't know when bedtime is, mm. they don't know what bedtime looks like, they don't know where they're sleeping tonight. Mm. They don't know how they'll be sleeping tonight. That can be distressing.
Mm.
So creating a healthy bedtime routine, if you are that way inclined, and I think it's becoming more and more prominent, meditation.
Mm.
Meditation doesn't have to be the way you see it on movies.
Mm.
It could just be taking a few deep breaths at night, regulating the nervous system, calming music, that gives the body an indication that it's now bedtime.
Not to interrupt you, but I'm thinking of our moms and tools, and we don't always get it right, eh? But when we do, it works. I listened to a short meditation. It was maybe 5 minutes, and I found this online. And all it is it talks about the boat that floats on the water. And then it goes further and further. The lady's wearing a hat and the hat's getting smaller and smaller, you know. And as she fades away in the water, this is now how I present it to the children. And then I say to them, the day is finished. And when I say that, we all yawn. I just saw Mataba yawn. It works every time. My cameraman just yawned. I say to them, the day is finished. We all yawn, and then it's a nice release. And
beautiful, I love
that. Yeah, and what I found as well—I mean, this is not for everyone—but we do prayers before bedtime, and it's a beautiful routine for us in our home. You know, it works. Well, other than the fact that God works, it's wonderful. but the routine also, the fact that there's a prayer before I close my eyes means it's time to close your eyes now. You know,
yes,
yeah, we're gonna sleep.
So it's a routine.
Mm-hmm.
The prayer works for your family.
Mm.
So every family needs to identify their values and then what works within those values. Yeah. So what I used to do with my daughter in combination with prayers, she read a book. And then at the end of the book, there's a candle. And I would say, blow out the candle.
She would blow it out.
And I'd say, now it's bedtime.
Hey, that's so cute.
And even with babies. Mm. So my mom was looking after my daughter one night. And I said to her, she was 6 months old. And I said to her, please read her story before bedtime. And my mom said, a story. She's 6 months old. When I fetched her, my mom said, I cannot believe how excited she was for the book.
Mm.
And as soon as you close that book, she turns around, yawns, and waits for her bottle.
Mm.
Because that's part of her routine. On the nights that I don't read that book, she doesn't sleep.
My routine, mommy. Yeah.
Routine is so important.
We miss it.
Their bodies anticipate. Their bodies are wired for that connection, for that safety, for that expectation of what comes next. So they can sleep soundly.
Oh, I feel like sleeping. This is so good. Is all night terrors anxiety related, even the ones where we don't think it needs treatment?
So no, not anxiety related, because not all change in routine creates anxiety as such. Anxiety is used interchangeably, but generalized anxiety disorder is when it's in excess.
Hmm.
But anxiety is often used interchangeably with worry.
Okay.
Or change in routine.
Right.
So, yes, it could be symptoms associated with anxiety.
Got you.
But it's not necessarily an anxiety disorder.
Got you on that too.
Yes.
When we seek treatment, is it only in our educational psychologist rooms? You know, are there things that we can do at home already? We've now learned about the routine. Love the routine.
Yes.
You know, having older kids has really served me. I'm a stepmom, and I always say that in case people wonder. So I saw how my husband did it, hey, with routine and with, and I thought, is this really necessary? And yes, it was. And it really served our household, you know, when to eat, when to bath, when to bed. And still, I can see timing is a very, very important thing for him, you know, whereas I joked about it earlier, I'm often late and I've really had to work on it because if I'm late, everyone else is late, you know.
Yeah, the routine.
The routine is out. Do you have more advice on how to treat it before we see our expert?
So before seeking professional treatment or intervention, I would encourage parents or caregivers to look at what has changed.
Right.
So one thing that I would like to slip in here that I think is so crucial is limiting screen time. Very often, I just quickly need to get something done, or I just didn't do enough work. And what is the best thing to keep a child busy sometimes, for some families? Is put on their favorite show.
Hmm.
And I've seen it in my home. They enjoy TV. And if it's a great show, then, you know, content approved and happy with it. Neutral theme.
Low stim.
Yes.
it's a word I learned this week. Low stim shows.
It doesn't matter. That TV and that light keeps that little brain
active.
So active. And then it makes it so much more difficult for them to go to sleep. So just because we're putting off the TV doesn't mean that it's bedtime. But you can choose if you want to build a puzzle, read a book, or play. And children are used to routine. And to change a routine takes time and consistency. So if you need to change that routine, it does take time. But you will be surprised at how quickly children adapt or adjust to the new routine. And then more often than not, it's not a rule of thumb, but more often than not, that behavior will follow. So then it'll be easier for them to adjust to the bedtime if they've been playing or drawing or reading and creating a calm environment. So for new mommies, I didn't coin this term, but I'm going to share it here, is the three B's for bedtime routine. It's bath, bottle, bed. And if you can follow that routine, again, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But if you don't try, how will you know? And at the end of the day, you need to do what's best for your family and your routine. Because if it doesn't work for your routine, it's unlikely to be successful.
Megan, thanks for joining us. This has been an eye-opener, night terrors and anxiety with children. And we really wish and we pray for your families. We hope all is well. May the treatment in the home start so that eventually if we need help, we can go and see someone who can help us help our family. Megan Tucker is an educational psychologist. You can find her at douglasdaletherapycenter.co.za. A full biography as well as a clickable link to her practice is live on babybrunch.co.za.
This podcast was supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. Epimax Baby and Junior is dermatologist approved, free of artificial colorants and fragrances, and is safe to use from birth. Touch, nourish, love your child's skin with Epimax Baby and Junior. Available from leading pharmacies and retail stores.